Meredith, will you recall for me the moment when the idea to found the AQS entered into your discussions?
Oh my goodness, that's been a long time ago. About 1984, we started. We were publishers. We are book publishers. We found that there was a lot of interest in quilt books, quilting, and so we started investigating a little bit about the quilt industry and found a lot of beautiful quilts. We went to different shows, and so we just said, you know, we believed that we could put together a society and a contest and a museum that would benefit the quilt industry. And we really enjoyed the quilts so much. We thought they were just beautiful, and so we just felt like this was an art form that really needed to be exposed more to the general public.
Well, with your being an inductee into the Quilters Hall of Fame in Marion, Indiana, did you have the sense of impacting history, art, business, and economic development?
No.
When you started? I mean, it just...
Of course not. No, we just had the sense that this was something that, I mean, really and truthfully, we weren't even thinking about economic development that much or impacting. We just felt like this was an art form that really needed to be rewarded for its artistic ability, and we didn't feel like it had been.
So you started the quilt show, and it let me leave it to you to make a comparison between the first quilt show you put on in Paducah and this year's quilt show.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the first one, of course, was a chance, was an expense, and we weren't even sure it would be a success. You know, the first one was like we're taking a huge chance, and even the people at the executive end didn't expect very many people to attend because they were not familiar at all with the quilting industry. And so it was a huge expense. We offered $10,000 for the best of show, so it was something that we completely underwrote ourselves. So, you know, it was just one of those chances you take in life to see if this is going to work. And so now this year, we know it works, and it's spread all over our city, and so many people come, but there's so many things going on beside just our quilt show. You know, there's shows three or four different places in Paducah. So it has expanded. So there's quite a bit of difference.
In terms of attendance, what do you estimate this year's attendance to be?
Well, we're looking for about 30,000.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, definitely we think it is, yes.
And what is the annual attendance at the National Quilt Museum?
It's about 40,000 a year, and that's beside Paducah. It's really hard, and people don't really understand this. If they talk to Frank, he'll tell them. During the quilt show, they probably get about 13,000 people that come through. So the rest of that is the rest of the year. So it's really a year-round attraction in Paducah.
And I'm sure you've done all of the Chamber of Commerce calculations on how many other dollars those visitations spin out into the local economy.
Yes. Oh, yes. The actual show, now this, we haven't done this in a few years, but when we did it several years ago, it was like a $17 million economic for the city and the state. For the city, it's probably $11 or $12 million, but for the museum during the year, no, those I don't have. I'm thinking Mary at the tourism, she gave a talk one time, and I'm trying to think, but I'd hate to be quoted on that.
Sure.
It was a very nice economic benefit to our city.
We who live in the region know about the lack of hotel rooms during Quilt Show, and we know that, you know, part of our own community's population is in Paducah for the week because the streets are a little quieter. But there are other accomplishments of the show that I wasn't aware of, and that was the working jointly to permit quilters to earn certificates and college credit.
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
We started that 3 or 4 years ago with the WKCTC, And we have classes online, and you can take those classes, and then you can take the classes here in Paducah at the show. Will also go toward that certificate. So that's something that we're still working with them. We want to get it a little more than what we have currently, but it is available, yes.
And the development of the appraiser certification, I didn't know about that either.
Yeah, well, now that's been going on for several years, probably maybe way 15 years. A group of people came to me, and we sat and talked, and that took about 3 years to get all that worked out, all the details, and then we do certify. They take tests, they take classes, and we do certify quilt appraisers. And now there are probably 40 or 50 of those throughout the country, and every 3 years they need to recertify to make sure that they're up to date, and we have a committee who's responsible for all of keeping up with all of that, and it's been very beneficial for the quilt industry because, you know, when you ship a quilt, normally, I mean, it's considered basically a blanket, so it's worth the fabric that it has, unless it's been appraised, and then it has its artistic value. And so that's very important when you're shipping quilts, doing quilt shows and all that because, you know, a quilt can get stolen. It can be damaged. So you want to be sure that these quilters have their quilts appraised.
Now, Meredith, Paducah isn't the only community benefiting from your industry. How many shows like Paducah's are you putting on across the nation now?
We do three other shows other than Paducah. In fact, we just finished Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Then we're going to do Paducah. Then we'll do Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then we'll do Des Moines, Iowa. So we have three other shows.
Cumulatively, the number of entries, do you think, ballparking?
You're talking about
All
people who enter quilts or people who attend the shows?
let's go for both.
Okay. Well, we'll have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We'll have probably 1,200 entries. That's quilt entries, and we'll have a few duplicates in different shows because they can do that, but not too many. So we'll have over 1,000 different quilts that are entered in those four shows, and attendees will average probably 18 at the other three shows and then Paducah, so whatever that adds up to, I don't know.
Wow. Well, one of the features of this year's show in Paducah is quite unusual. The tent makers of Cairo. How did you get involved with this fascinating story coming to Paducah?
It was really just, you know, like so many of these things. A friend of Bonnie's, who is our show chairman, mentioned to her, this Jenny Bowker mentioned to her, I think over a text, that they had these men in England, and they were such a big success and everything, and had their quilts. And so Bonnie said, well, you know, maybe we could do that here. So we just one of those things that kind of evolved. They got to talking and talked to the men, and they had more quilts they were willing to send. And so then we determined that this was something that we could really get involved with. And so we determined that we would just purchase their quilts and then sell them and bring them over here and let them talk to the people. And so it just was one of those things that sort of evolved and has been really successful. They were to two shows last year, and they've been to Lancaster, and they'll be in Paducah this year.
How were they received in Lancaster?
Oh, people loved them. They just really well received. And they're very unassuming gentlemen. They speak some English, not a whole lot, and they sit there basically on a little stool or on the floor and quilt. And but it's not kind of like it's applique really, and they put this fabric on a canvas back and just stitch through it. It's and very quickly, just amazing how quickly they do this.
Let me ask you about this notion of elevating the quilt to an art form. Was that in your mind when you started this whole thing? I think you mentioned it, but did you know that the impact would be so great? It took the movement of quilting beyond the social, beyond the the functional and economic into a whole new realm. And your galleries are quite surprising, I think, to people who see them for the first time, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Everybody that has, you know, at the museum for the first time, they'll say, well, I didn't expect this, or this is not. And even men, they'll say, well, I'll sit out here and let my wife go in. And oftentimes we'll say, well, we'll just let you in free. Just go on in and look. And if you don't like it, that's fine. Come out. And very seldom do they ever come back out and say, oh, it was not worth it. it is amazing because people have in their minds whatever quotes they're familiar with in their background, which, you know, years ago were bed quilts. So, and these really are art pieces. And yes, that was our intent from the word go. We saw these quilts at several shows before we start our business, and we said they are just too beautiful to be not recognized as art pieces. So that was what we wanted to do.
What has been the impact of your business in quilting on your original business?
Well, now it is our business. You know, it was an addition to our business. It was part of our original business, but now it is our business.
So as publishers, tell me the scope of your activities in publishing that impact the quilting world.
Probably over the years, we've probably published over 500 books on quilting, how-to books, and then we do two magazines. Every month we do a magazine. They're bi-monthlies. And so when we do catalogs, and so we have quite a big publishing division.
Now, back to the idea of history. The Quilters Hall of Fame establishment is actually in a home that was about to be demolished. And now, I guess in 92, it was designated a landmark of women's history and National Park Service, and the only one ever honoring a quilter. That's pretty amazing, and it goes back to, was it Hazel Carter?
It was Marie Webster.
Okay.
But, and Hazel was the one who started it, yes, but the home belonged to Marie Webster.
But Hazel Carter was it the Colonial Quilter Society that offered the first modern opportunity in the 70s to bring women together in a major convention sort of a scene to do quilting and to talk about quilting?
I'm not sure about the date. We went to the Continental Congress in about 85, I think, which was in Washington, at Georgetown. And that's when I first met Hazel Carter, and so that's been a long time ago.
It's really kind of a unique story that you have, isn't it, to have not only excelled in your personal business, but brought such great riches to so many other people in your community, including those who just look.
We've been very blessed. We really have.
So what will the ceremonies be like at the Quilters Hall of Fame, you know?
Yes. I have attended the Quilters Hall of Fame for other people that were inducted, and it's small town. It's not a large town, and they will have I will do a lecture for the luncheon, and then that night they'll have an inductee service. And the only one I've seen, they had a lot of their family there, and they introduced them and, you know, things like that. So it's really just a nice party.
Great.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if I were not to ask you, aside from the stitch like an Egyptian element to this year's show, what other surprises have you up your sleeve?
Well, we're going to have several other exhibits. And, of course, we always, Paducah has uttered the most fantastic quilts of any of the shows. It has the cream of the crop. There's no question about that. And so the quilts are always the most outstanding here in Paducah.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you.